So yeah, on this pre-roll, when you're listening back, editing, trying to figure out what you want to keep or not.
See, see, there's the regular voice, and there's this voice where I'm like, hey, you know, so, it's...
you know, the listeners don't know what's going on in here. So if I go, hey, does this look infected to you before we start?
Then they don't know what's happening. Anything could be happening. You're like, no, that looks fine.
I mean,
that's how it's supposed to look.
Nick, your penis looks fine.
No, that's not what I had out on the table.
But I mean, hey, it's great otherwise. Like, I as a person who has seen some penises, including my own, we've all been in a locker room before. Shannon, you've seen some penises.
They all look infected to me.
You're right.
Because they're infected with the patriarchy.
Oh, yeah.
Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea, Season 2, External Bandana. Shannon, what do you think of that one?
It doesn't even rhyme.
Well, it doesn't have to rhyme. Yeah, it's got to have an E and a B.
No, it's got to rhyme with the word two.
That's not true. Okay, well, in any case, this is a comedy game show podcast hosted by me, Nate Bergoglio. Yeah, I did. Nick was as disgusted as you were by external bandana. Yeah.
I was confused.
Yes. Yeah, and rightfully so. each week, I subject my guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea. With me, as always, is Shannon Page. Shannon.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm a little discombobulated today, so
it's a good word.
Hopefully I can do this.
I believe in you. You know what? You're such a strong player. You're such a consummate professional.
Aww.
I have no doubt in my mind that this will be your best episode yet.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'm gonna set the bar so
bar,
high
yeah.
right now that
no
almost anything would have to be a failure.
No pressure at
yeah.
all. All right.
Yeah, and joining us is Nick Shelton. You may
Hello.
Know Nick from his time running the Bad Dates podcast, which you can still find on Stitcher.
Yes.
That was from 2016 through 2017, where you chronicled the dates you went on. Yes.
Yeah, went on a lot of dates.
Yeah, and yeah. you talked about them in sometimes right. hilariously depressing detail.
Yeah, the bad dates. I went on a lot of dates, and some were good, and some were okay, and not worthy of mention, but then there was a lot of bad ones. And I said, people want to hear about this. Let the people know what's going on in the streets, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In the sheets.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
we need
the streets
to know.
Mostly.
Yeah. Did you find that the sheets and the streets were clearly different, or were yeah. people kind of pretty much the same?
Mostly, well, I don't, you know, when it's a bad date, usually there's not a whole lot of sheets. Usually it's more streets.
I guess if it's a really bad date, someone might have a multi-page form that they have you fill out at the end of it, and that would be sheets, but it's a totally
yeah.
different reason.
Or if somebody ends up dead, you might have to put a sheet over them.
Ooh,
that would be a really bad date.
That would be a horrible date.
Dun, dun.
Yeah.
It's not called horrible dates. It's called bad dates. Wow. Okay.
We took it there.
Yeah, we went right there. So, and Nick, you also run a business that's designed to help people deal with introversion and networking in business.
Yes, high-level networking for introverts. So,
there you go.
You know, it's not just networking. It applies to learning to network and be comfortable in social situations, but also high-level. You know, like what if I want to go... You know,
you're smoking marijuana.
Polo. Yeah, no, not marijuana. Like,
no,
I want to go hang out in the polo club. You know,
croquet,
see some ponies.
Your country club lifestyle.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, there's all.
I want to be invited to the Fry Festival.
Yes.
Sorry, that was a very timely joke. There's
like the Catalina wine mixer, you know? How would you...
The motherfucking Catalina wine mixer.
How would you behave there? Who would you meet? How do you get there? I help people with this, like, the shy, the introverts, the socially awkward, be able to first get invited, get on the list, and
oh,
then
yeah,
show
yeah.
up, and then actually not just show up and be in the corner like some kind of something in the corner.
Yeah, not baby, because nobody puts her
nobody
there.
Nobody puts baby in the corner. Man, you and the references. And no, but you actually excel and be known. You know, they always say it's not what you know, it's who you know. But that's a lie. It's not who you know, it's who knows you. Because, like, for example, Brad Pitt, it's not like he gets to do cool stuff because, you know, he knows a lot of people. It's people know Brad Pitt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're like, oh, that's Brad Pitt. Hey,
yeah,
come on in here.
To use that, I know Brad Pitt.
Right.
I know of him.
And he
that doesn't
does
mean I can do
you.
Anything.
Right.
Yeah, it's not like I could call him up and be like, hey, Brad, do you want to go out on a date with me? This is Nate from your English class. And he'll be like, I've never been. Yes. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. He wouldn't even answer the phone.
So I assume he has between 15 and 7,500 people who answer his phone for him.
Probably. So, yeah. But if you just...
Some of them adopted.
If he showed up and knocked on the door, you'd be like, oh, Brad Pitt, what are you doing here? And he's like, I came to, you know, have... I hear you have a beer on tap here. And mm-hmm. they're like, yeah, come on in. Because you'd want to be like, hey, Brad Pitt came over today, you know? I don't know, maybe, or maybe you would say no. No, Brad, you're not going to freeload over here. But the point
is... No, what I would say is, Brad, wait a couple minutes. I would run to a closet. I would quickly acquire a cardboard box. I would bring it out, and I would say, hey, Brad, what's in this box? What's in the box? It's from Seven.
Oh, see, that's the thing. Okay, so for the audience, let me, I listened to some of the episodes of this podcast, and I, so before listening to the podcast, I was like, I'm a fucking genius, you know? I do a lot of cool stuff, and I'm pretty bright, usually. But then I listened to this podcast, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? How do you guys know all this stuff?
In fairness, you're actually a successful businessman. I am the host of a podcast that has a scant but ardent following. So I don't know if we should talk about who's...
But no, you know all this stuff, and then you can, and even I see these movies too, but then I don't remember, like, I'm going to bring this up later.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, this guy said this, or he held a keychain with a skull on it, and then I'm going to bring that up five years from now.
The whole reason that we started this podcast is because Shannon and I have this unique and innate capability to just reference a bunch of shit back to back to back to back to back in what can only be a human centipede of references.
Ew.
No, but only...
But I like that you mentioned the human centipede reference while trying to come up with a way to describe how
gross.
We reference everything.
It's gross, but yeah.
We basically realize we both just have brains full of the most minutia crap going on, and we needed an outlet for it.
Delightful nonsense brains. This is, I mean, it's almost a handicap, really.
Yeah. But your guests also, they're like, oh yeah, sure. Ba-da-da-da-da. You had that the potato apple thing. And people are like, oh, obviously it's a potato because this. And they're like, what? What are they talking about? What did they say? And then, like, when I did my thing the other day, I mentioned, oh, that's whatever I said, apple or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And then you said, oh, wonderful, 4 points. And someone else said, well, it's a potato because of this. And you're like, 18 points. Like, what are you talking about? I don't know how they get 18 points. That has no... I don't know what they're talking about.
In fairness, there is no correct answer for that segment at all. You could write that it's an apple. You could say, oh, it's a bear claw, and it's got apple filling. Like, oh, I don't care. You could do whatever.
Also, the points
it's the
mean
creativity.
Nothing.
Yeah, the points are completely meaningless.
Oh, it's creativity?
Yeah, well, yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's
oh, I could have got so many more points.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, there's going to be more.
Yeah,
now
we're going to play that, right?
I'm gonna post another Pamu Pamu de Terre online. Yeah. We're not going to play Pamu de Terre tonight on the show.
Oh.
But I know.
Like, I was ready
for
that one.
Yeah, that now that I know how you play, I thought that, I was like, I'm looking at like your dog or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how's that a potato? And people are like, oh, obviously your dog's a potato. What am I missing? How do I not see this? And they're like, how do people know that that's a potato? Because it's just like a dog and it's not an apple either. And then like, maybe there's something in the name that's like reminds you of an apple or a potato. I don't, but creativity. So now, I'm going to win so hard.
Oh, you're going to do great. This is all creativity. So you've listened, so you understand how the show works. This week's episode's theme is strategy.
Strategy.
And you get to choose whether you would like to go first in picking 1 through 10 from the list, or if you would like to defer and make Shannon pick 1 through 10.
So, as a strategist? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's it.
Strategery.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Strategist.
I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to... Oh, yeah, I pick a number? Yeah, I'm going to go first. Yes, me.
Right?
See? Now I sound like a moron to your listeners.
I like that you're like, as a strategist, wait, what do I do?
Yes.
What is my strategy?
No, I'm confident in this. I'm going first.
Excellent.
How you like them apples or potatoes? Yeah. Boom.
Well,
Good Will Hunting.
Pick. I like, very good.
He's
I like
on
that.
It now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to bring up some stuff. All right.
So 1 through 10, Nick. What do you think?
I think most people would say 7. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say 2.
Number 2.
You're right. Most people do say 7.
A lot of people say 7.
Yeah.
We're going to play Thunderdome.
Thunderdome like Mad Max.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you're on it. You are on it.
I know you don't want to be in the Thunderdome, and that's exactly where we're going.
That's where we are. I got a great thunder sound effect that we'll start on the previous week's podcast. So when it's Thunderdome, you're going to hear ba-boom.
Nice.
So that's kind of fun. Anyway, you won't hear it here.
Can we do like what's the amount of a song you're allowed to play before you have to pay for it? You could be like, "We don't need another."
Yeah.
Thunderdome. We'll just mix that in. Okay, so this week on Thunderdome, you both get a...
I like your singing voice, by the way. That's
thank
nice.
You. Yeah,
at least in short form.
When I'm imitating Tina Turner.
Yes.
You each get a shot at this. Okay. In Thunderdome this week, the battle is between the game of chess, the Lord's game, the uh-huh. King's game, the game of chess versus checkers.
Okay.
Richard Nixon's dog. Not the game checkers.
Oh.
Richard Nixon's dog checkers.
Okay.
Which
you think
one wins?
I know like a bunch of trivial questions about that dog?
Oh, no. I don't think you do at all, but I think you can tell me whether chess or checkers win in a battle to the death.
So chess, the actual chess, and then checkers, the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
They're in the Thunderdome. They have to fight. Who wins?
Chess.
Okay, why?
Because checkers and chess, they battle it out, and then... checkers chokes on the king.
Okay, yeah, because dogs want to chew on things, and they're small pieces.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, great. So yours ends with the death of a beloved animal.
Uh-huh.
And Shannon, what are you going to go with?
Well, just to be contrary, I will say the other one, which
checkers.
Was checkers. All
checkers
right, so checkers
dog.
Is going to win.
Uh-huh.
Much like his namesake, he's going to jump all over that board diagonally, until he gets to the other end, and then he's going to get bigger and come back and then get bigger again and go back again. And he's just going to keep jumping on that board until it cracks in two.
Yeah. And eventually he's like Clifford the Big Red Dog sized.
No. What? So what? Who decide? Do you decide who wins?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's how this works. Great job. You're each going to get 3 points. You
okay.
You were both absolutely
correct. Okay, I'm okay
correct.
With that. Yeah. There's no way that, yeah, okay. All right. Because that was really pushing it, going back and forth, getting bigger. Yeah, all right. But, you know, no offense or anything. I'm just saying.
No, it's...
That was, you know, come on.
It wasn't my best.
Yeah. Yeah, you can do better than that.
Well, Shannon, here's your chance. 1 through 9.
I'll take number 4.
Number 4.
And can you say the same number again?
Yeah, it's going to accordion down until there's just 1 and 2. We're just going to keep pulling things out. The list is just going to keep getting shorter as categories
right.
are. I know it's a little, it'll make sense. I'll keep kind of reminding.
Okay.
So number 4, Shannon, it's time to play Desert Island.
Oh my goodness, a lot of games.
This could be awesome.
Yes. This week on Desert Island, you're embroiled in a long-term conflict with an opposing military force.
Okay.
Will you send a messenger with a message of peace, or will you just pick something from their Amazon wish list?
The military forces Amazon wish list?
That's correct, yeah.
All right, so message of peace or Amazon gift of peace?
I mean, I guess if you think Amazon is somehow a peaceful entity, sure, yeah.
It
great.
Sends, so they're getting either a message, so a messenger's like, hey, come in peace, everything, like Mr. Burns.
Come in peace.
Yeah, or
I bring you love.
He brings love. Kill him.
break his legs.
Or it's they have that Amazon wish list, and then you just send that.
Yeah, you're picking something
like
from the wish list and sending it.
And send it.
Yeah. All right. Here's what I'm going to do.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to send a messenger
with
a message of peace, but I'm going to append that message of peace to let them know that I have ordered something off of their Amazon wish list, and it will be coming soon.
Okay. Ooh.
And that's why I win.
A deceitful double dip. All right.
Oh, no.
All right.
You're allowed to do that? You can just do that? You can do whatever
it.
You want?
Yeah.
Like, by the way, I saw that you wanted a stroller, and it's coming. Keep an eye out for it. It's coming from the other direction, though, so look that way.
So,
attack!
Yeah, because keep in mind, you've been embroiled in a long-term military conflict. And you're like, hey, do I send my messenger to say, hey, we're cool, white flag, or do you just pick an item off their Amazon wish list? What are you going to do, Nick?
So, no, the white flag, it's not surrendering, right?
Well, you're no. Like, I mean, hey, I shouldn't have said white flag. I guess you just bring like a dove. That's not surrendering. That's like, here, I brought you a white bird. Which
or it's
means...
just I brought you a message.
Yeah. Yeah.
I brought you a message letting you know there's an Amazon gift coming for you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's pretty creative.
It's just a shipment notification email.
It says, we're sorry you weren't home.
Yeah.
We're going to come back at 8 o'clock tomorrow. Please be here.
Yeah, don't worry. We'll be here between 8
and
8.
I know where they are.
That's,
okay, that's getting pretty good. That's not included in the answer. That's her answer was the answer before.
Yeah, no, that's
don't
fine.
Add
yeah.
that extra
yeah.
part
no,
in.
No, I'm not. Hey,
that was good at the end.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry.
We have to keep that limited answer where it's not coming. She said, hey, it's coming, but it's not coming. And then she's still going to be at war. I think that's like women do that.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. We're getting into your dating podcast
now.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, I thought you said that. Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Okay. No, you're good. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
That is kind of because you don't have like an attack option. I guess you could say, because I can do anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it is the messenger. You're not supposed to kill the messenger. Wow. Yeah, that's kind of tough. So do I know what's on their wish list? Because I'd look at it, right? You have that on your notes?
Oh, I mean, I don't have their entire wish list, no. But, I mean, you can assume that, like, you know, they got some toilet paper.
Their wish list?
Oh, I mean, come on. Like, everybody just, like, if somebody just bought me toilet paper, I'd be, like, super down. That's fine.
Oh, man.
Like, just be my paper.
The holidays are around the corner, Nate. You might get your wish. Let's see. Okay, now if I just say a basic answer, then I'm going to lose. So it has to be something even more creative than, hey, you got a package that's not coming. It's coming, but look for it, but it's not coming. Ha ha! They're like, oh. So now I have to, like, I'm going to send the messenger.
Okay.
But I'm going to send the messenger with a gift.
Okay.
And so I'm gonna take a shit in a shoebox, right?
Okay.
And then I'm going to put a little post-it note on the shoebox and say, "The Duke."
Okay.
Because it's like Dookie.
Yeah, yeah. I'm tracking what you're doing. Right? Yeah, yeah.
And then
and they'll be like, "It's a John Wayne action figure."
And then I'll put like a little peace symbol on the box also.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I want the messenger to say, "Hey, peace. It's don't kill me. This isn't from me, but hey, we want to settle the score and make everything all right again. But here's, I don't know why I haven't looked in here, but here's what I was sent with.
Great.
Don't kill me. I'm the messenger."
I love it.
That's
that
my
kind
answer.
Of implies that the messenger knows what he's delivering.
That's what he says. He says what I tell him to say.
Great.
Like, I'm not going to back off that answer.
Peace. This is a peace gift. Everything's good, but don't kill me.
Yeah, don't kill me.
Because he knows the reputation.
I don't know what's
like,
in the box.
We should just kill the messenger anyway.
It's like, I know this guy. When he writes the Duke on a box, because he took a shit in it.
I remember what happened last time. And maybe I'll have someone shit in it, because I don't know if I'm just going around shitting in boxes. But for the story, yes, it's my shit. And I ate like a bunch of Halloween candy with like and Snickers bars and stuff.
Oh, man, yeah. Well, and so you guys.
And corn.
And if you think the box is gross, you should see the actual Duke. The guy gets appointed to a position, and it is not what he was counting on.
Yeah. All right. Tally up the points. Yeah,
you were both wrong, but you both get 6 points. The correct answer was that you send your messenger to work at an Amazon factory. You get the messenger into one of the boxes with the wish list item. You Trojan horse that. The messenger pops out, says, "Ha ha! I died under horrible working conditions," and that's the end of the war.
Ooh, that's
but six
good.
Points each. Good job.
Okay. All right. We're tied.
And, and Nick, it's your turn, 1 through 8.
Okay. 1 through 8. I'm going to say, let's go 8.
Number 8.
I like
all
eight.
Right. Hey, we're playing another mini game. This is.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. You guys are hitting all of them.
It's like half mini games, half trivia.
Yeah.
And we're getting all the mini games up front.
So it's time to play Is It or Ain't It?
Oh, it's a different thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Is it a what?
Is It or Ain't It?
Oh, is it or ain't it?
Yeah.
I thought he said, is it arraignment?
Kind of what I thought.
Like, yeah. Okay.
I'll try to enunciate a little bit.
That'll be a good game for next time.
It's time to play Is It or Ain't It? This week, Is It or Ain't It? A Real Military Strategy. So there are four little mini questions. We're going to bounce back and forth between the two of you. So Nick, your first one. Is It or Ain't It? A Real Military Strategy.
Okay.
The Hammer and Anvil.
I'm going to say no.
It is actually a real military strategy.
Damn it.
It is a way of moving troops so that you post
be,
up
but,
and
you know,
you
have to answer quickly. I'm not trying to waste time.
No, I like it. You go with your instincts.
Yeah, yeah.
My
Shannon,
instincts were wrong.
Number two.
No matter what?
I don't know.
Is it or ain't it a real military strategy? The How's Your Father?
It is.
There's no way.
It's not.
I don't know.
That's like when British people have anal sex or something.
Yeah, it's British euphemism for intercourses.
I mean, that's a strategy.
It is. I mean, it's
yeah. Well, it's not a military strategy. It's like a bedroom.
Matahari.
No.
Cleopatra.
Don't be trying to like, oh, well, it's kind of, yeah, Cleopatra, so yeah, extra points for that. No, she's wrong.
Okay. All right, Nick, your next one.
Yes.
Is it or ain't it a real military strategy? Put a bird on it.
Put a bird on it. I'm going to say no.
Yeah, that's correct. Put a bird on it is just a reference to Portlandia, where they put a bird on it. Great. Okay. And Shannon.
It's a hipster store. They put birds on things because hipsters like that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's a soda can, but it's got a bird on it.
Put a bird on it.
Oh. See?
Yeah.
Now your listeners are like, he doesn't know? Why does he know that? Everyone knows about Portlandia.
No, they don't.
Okay.
Probably less people than should know about it.
That is the only thing I know about Portlandia.
Is to put a bird on it?
Yeah. And only because I have a friend that likes...
Is that a real thing? People say put a bird on it?
Well, not really.
It's when they're making fun of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's an ironic reference.
The only reason
the show
I know
is
that
ironic itself.
Is my friend Deb loves things with birds on them.
Aww.
And like bird stickers and glasses with birds on them. And I found out about that sketch and... Then I yelled, put a bird at her for like a year straight.
Aw, Deb, like, if you want to be on the podcast, we'll put a bird on you on the show.
An actual bird.
All right.
Okay.
Nick.
It's me.
Oh, it's Shannon. Shannon. It's Shannon's.
Yeah.
Shannon.
Yeah, because of the put a bird on.
Is it or ain't it a real military strategy? The hedgehog defense.
Is.
That's correct. Yeah.
It's just the odds.
Like it would be.
It's the odds.
It's got the little... It's kind of...
They're covered with quills.
Yeah, they got little quills on them. They're cute.
And they know how to...
Well,
like
that cute
they're
doesn't
all,
help.
I had a friend in elementary school. They had a hedgehog as a pet. Right. And they're very, like, they're tender on the bottom, but they're really, really, like, rough and tumble on the outside. Ooh. So, yeah, if you're a hedgehog...
So that's like a... I was going to say M&M, but that's not the same thing. M&M isn't that.
But something. It's just like M&M.
I mean, Marshall Mathers is definitely
yes.
Like that.
He's
yes.
very prickly on the outside, but soft underbelly.
Soft and doughy.
But he really loves his daughter, and maybe. Mm-hmm.
We do too.
Yeah, sure. Everybody's very happy about it. Great job. You both get 2 points because you both got 2 answers correct.
Okay, yeah, that makes
sense. I did not get 2 answers correct.
I know, but you're both getting 2 points anyway.
Oh, because she had the extra...
We don't need to get into why Shannon got 2 points.
Okay, all right.
Shannon, we're back
I'm
to
like
you.
Suddenly, really competitive for some reason. Like, I got to get this non prize at the end.
Oh man, yeah, the non prize is so good this week too.
Oh man,
yeah.
Look in the parking lot out there. What do you see? Nothing. Yeah, exactly. That's what you get. Get out.
It's a 2020 Toyota Tercel. They haven't made it yet, and they're never gonna. Shannon,
yes.
1 through 7.
2.
Number 2. All right. Do you have a vague idea about Stratego?
Ooh. Oh. It's a game. It's a board game. Is it like a version of... It's like a sad version of Risk.
I wish it said that on the box.
That'd be awesome.
A sad version of Risk.
I would buy that for people as a gift.
Do you like the idea of Risk, but... You want something that's sadder.
A sad version of it.
Stratego.
I've never played it. I remember that it existed when I was a kid, so it's been around since probably the 70s. But I have no idea what the concept of
it's
it
on
is.
My Amazon wish list.
Ooh, all right.
Ooh, yeah.
So I will defer to you to pick up the rest.
Wait, what? Can you do that?
Yeah, no.
Well, no, I mean,
I'm done.
Gonna get,
I've said everything I know.
Now,
so
but what,
you get to add.
I don't get a new question?
No, no. You keep talking about Stratego. What else do you know about Stratego?
But you're going to get more points because you're going to know more than me.
That's what you're assuming. I just talk, and I talk a lot. I've been drinking.
I mean, it's on your wish list. That's more than I knew.
Well, it's not really on there. I was just saying that.
It was a reference to wish lists.
Well, yeah, because I was bringing up the wish list.
Callback. Got it.
Yeah, so... I know it's a board game, and it seemed like it had some kind of like blocks, like kind of like a weird, funky Lego type blocks with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Stratego, it's like strategy, because that's our theme this week, strategy, Stratego. And then you have to try to, board game has weird blocks, some blocks that you play with. And that's all I know about it. I've never played it, but I remember the commercial seemed to have had some blocks because the TV raised me because I didn't have a whole lot of friends.
Aww. Well, we'll get into that later. But yeah, it is a board game. It has been available since 1946.
46?
Wow. Yeah. It is a strategy board game for two players that uses a 10x10 square board. Each player controls 40 pieces. Well, not each. 20 on each side. So 20 pieces representing individual officer ranks in the army. The pieces have Napoleonic insignia, and the objective of the game is to find and capture the opponent's flag. So there's a piece that's a flag. There's also a piece
too late.
There's also a piece that's a bomb, and there are like scout pieces and a bunch of other. So all the pieces have different skill sets.
So it's like a board game version of Capture the Flag?
Yeah, it's like Capture the Flag plus Battleship. Plus chess.
That sounds fun.
It's kind of not. Could. It is.
I'm going to put that on my Amazon
list. It's not bad.
And it's a two-person game?
Yeah, two-person game.
I'm always looking
start
for
sending it to people for the holidays. Here you go. I saw this was on your Amazon wish list.
It's hard.
You go,
it's hard to
was
find.
Not. I thought it was. I must have confused you with somebody else.
It's hard to find good two-person games.
Yeah. No. It's a great game. I used to like playing it when I was younger because we had a neighbor.
Stratego.
It's just like strategy instead of the Y on the end. It's just an O. It has simple enough rules for young children to play, but there's a depth of strategy that's appealing to adults.
A moment to learn, a lifetime to master.
Yeah.
That's not Stratego. That was something else.
Man. I think that's chess, right?
Oh, man.
I don't know.
I don't feel like chess advertises.
I feel like a lot of games are actually marketed that way, where they're like, you can pick this up right away. You can start having fun on day one, but if you want to really be good at it.
While they're talking, I'm going to be drinking.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what's going on. That could be Connect Four. It could be Monopoly.
Oh, Connect Four is nice. That's good for everyone. You can give that to people, and they'll be like, yeah.
Except the colorblind. And then they're like, I don't know what to do here.
They can see the shade difference.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's a shade difference. And if they're like, I can't tell, I'd be like, you're lying. But I can't see through their eyes.
Connect Four was the first game I ever beat my dad at because he didn't let me win at games when I was a kid.
That's a good lesson.
Welcome to the real world, kid. So Connect Four was the first game I ever beat him at. And since then, that was fourth grade. Every year for Christmas, he gets me a Connect Four game. To like commemorate, like this was when you
You're
became
a woman
a,
now.
This is when you became a full person. Yeah.
So how many Connect Fours do you have?
I have a lot, but I also have them in various incarnations. So I have like 1 year it was a chocolate version of Connect Four, and 1 year it was like a giant life size version of Connect Four, and like like a travel Connect Four.
I gotta look for that chocolate version. That'd be great. Tomorrow when I'm looking at my notes, I'm like, what's a chocolate version
Connect
of Connect 4?
What? What? How much did I drink?
Yeah, what is going on there? That is awesome. But you won, and then did you stop playing? Did you say, well, I won. I'm not going to play Connect 4 anymore.
No, I think we kept playing for like another 2 or 3 years, but then I kind of got over it. But I still keep getting it.
Was the chocolate version, could you actually play the game with the chocolate version, or it's just for display?
You could play it, but it didn't have the drop functionality. Yeah. It was just a flat board.
Ah, boo! So it was kind of like scratch it off the list.
it was like flat tic tac toe with chocolate pieces.
Yeah. That's not the same.
Oh yeah,
various foil colors. Yeah.
Oh, since we're at this part where we're not actually playing the game at the moment,
sure.
I have gifts. For you guys.
You have gifts?
What?
I came bearing gifts, like the messenger.
Yeah, you're like one of those wise guys.
Yes.
For the holiday
like a wise
season.
Guy. And so let me reach into my pockets.
Listeners, we're just gonna if anything crazy happens, we're gonna commemorate it here on the show.
It's the show wouldn't get published if something crazy happened.
Oh, look at that!
That's awesome.
These are Nick Shelton shot glasses, aren't they?
Double tequila shooters.
That is
because
awesome.
You know why have a regular normal person shot glass when you can have the tall, thin shot glass?
Oh yeah,
with me on it.
This is awesome. Do you sell these?
I don't. I give them to people.
Aww.
As gifts.
You should.
Well, thank you.
I should have a.
If you sell them, we would pitch the site where people could go buy them.
I sold for now, one we'll just... to my cousin. Yeah, so no, it's
we'll put it on Instagram so people can be jealous maybe, that they don't have it.
Yeah. Well, maybe. And also we're gonna play a quick impromptu game of Pom Pom Dare.
Oh no.
Shannon, is this shot glass an apple or a potato?
Oh. All right. It's fair.
That's good.
It's a potato.
Because
I am not a fan of tequila, but I will drink vodka out of this.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And thus it is a holder for vodka, much as a potato is.
Great. I am going to say that it's an apple because it is shiny on the outside and it conveys really delicious things the way an apple might convey peanut butter or caramel, right?
Yeah.
So this is going to carry deliciousness into my mouth. So I think it's an apple.
Oh. I'm going to give you the points with the carried deliciousness into your mouth.
I defer. That was a good answer.
That doesn't complicate our relationship at all.
Great.
I'm going to have a single point.
This is so awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Nick. This is very cool. Great job on the Stratego question. Shannon gets 2 points. Nick, you get 1.5 points. And Nick, it's your turn again. So one through six.
I'm going to go for one.
Number one.
Yes.
Do you have a vague idea about the Southern strategy? The Southern strategy.
That's the whole question?
That's the thing, yeah, the Southern strategy.
Is that about, like, anal sex?
We ain't not virgins if I fuck your butt. Is that what you're implying?
No,
I mean, it's really down south.
No, because I've heard the term. Like, I think even TLC, the popular group, sings about
not the terrible that. TV network. Yeah.
Yes. Not that.
Although Southern Strategy probably is a TLC show.
Is that? No,
how do we flip these houses?
You're like, Southern Strategy?
Southern Strategy. Uh-huh.
But most likely not. But I guess it could be. No, you wouldn't have that question on your podcast. So now that I've thought about it, audience, it's probably not that. And they're like, he keeps bringing this up. Hey, you know, I'm just following the lead of these questions.
Yeah, no, you are neither being coerced, nor are we feeling like you're being outlandish. You're doing, this is how the show works.
No, because it's the Southern strategy. What could that be? You know, because it's like, hey, you want to come back for a little Southern strategy? It'd be like,
I like that. I think you should go with it.
I think, you know, I guess it depends on who's asking.
Yeah.
And like what the circumstances are. You know? We're like, huh. Well, so am I. Who? What part do I play in the Southern strategy? You know? You know? But no, I guess. So, okay, hold on.
I like
so,
that this has sent you on a whole
I love it.
Spiral.
Yeah.
No, but so I'm sure it's not that. It's not that. It's something else. So the Southern strategy has to be something about, it's probably like sailors. Well, not in the same note as before.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. You didn't say seamen. You said sailors, so you're fine.
Sailors like, no, because they're sailing around like some Southern stuff. Like the horn. The horn of something? There's like a horn.
Yeah, the
horn of like, the horn
hope,
of.
Good Hope. That's a horn,
is that one
right?
Of the horns?
Yeah, Cape of Good Hope.
No,
I think. Isn't
that's
that,
not a horn.
Isn't that the tip of Africa?
Like, but then there's, so one of them, oh man.
There is a horn.
There is a horn
that you sail.
We're not disputing that there's a horn.
And it's south. And it might be a strategy. But that wouldn't be about that. I'm getting long-winded here.
Mm-mm.
But no, it could be like, it's probably like a battle thing, right? Or it could be like, hey, we have to, It could be like a thing of you like barbecue, right? And we're like, hey, Nate, let's take a road trip. We're going to hit all these barbecue joints. It's the Southern strategy, brother. We're going to go have all the great barbecue.
I'm in for that Southern strategy.
So like, that's what I'm going to go for.
We can hop in a car.
I think I'd get some points for
and
this.
And get some barbecue.
Yeah,
I'm down for that.
The Southern strategy is it's a road trip technique where you hit all the best barbecue joints in the South. And try to, and then the end, you weigh yourself at the beginning, you weigh yourself at the end, you're trying to add at least 30 pounds by the end of the trip.
Damn. I
like
it. I'm on board. This is great.
That's the Southern strategy.
If
that's
nothing else, you have to incorporate this into your business somehow.
The Southern strategy.
1 year there is a Southern strategy barbecue.
Southern strategy for introverts.
So yeah. It's when it is. And so if we go on this road trip for the barbecue, it's whoever gains the most weight during this barbecue road trip wins the Southern strategy.
Okay.
And so we just go through, we hit all the barbecue places that are, you know, we go to each town. What's the best barbecue in this town? And they tell us it's, you know, Felipe's barbecue. I don't think that's the thing.
That
It'd be like
wouldn't be it.
Gus's barbecue.
Uncle Merle.
No,
Gus
no.
is better. Yeah.
It'd just be like Phil's barbecue. That's an actual place. I saw it in the airport. Okay. So it's just. Big Pig's barbecue, and then we go there, and then we hit all the places, and then whoever has the most weight on them at the end of the road trip wins the Southern strategy. That's my thing, Southern strategy barbecue competition road trip thing. Okay,
great.
That's my answer.
I love it, Shannon.
Butt sex.
Okay.
I knew that there was something to it. I knew it.
I totally stole it. I have no idea. That's my guess.
Do you want to elaborate? I mean, Nick had the floor for a little bit. If you want to go into the specifics
of this
strategy.
I'm sticking with the brevity.
Okay, great. Guys, you're both wrong. I love you. Okay. But the Southern strategy is something we should all know about and remember because it's actively still happening. In American politics, the Southern strategy is the Republican Party electoral strategy to increase political support among white voters in the South by appealing to racism against African Americans. As the civil rights movement and the dismantling of Jim Crow laws in the 50s and 60s visibly deepened existing racial tensions, Republican politicians such as Richard Nixon and Barry Goldwater developed strategies that successfully contributed to the political realignment of many white conservative voters in the South who traditionally supported the Democratic Party. So that's what it is. It's basically what Trump does now, which is we're going to talk about building walls, we're going to make it sound like anybody who's brown is bad, and we're going to crap all over urban areas and things and make it so like, hey, I'm aligned with you guys. You guys like it better when things aren't complicated, etc.
And so being a man of color, you might not
Are
be
you?
Able to tell from my voice, but maybe I should have known that. And now people, your listeners, the three other people of color that are listening to this, they're like, hey, what the fuck, dude? Why didn't you know that? You thought it was sailors, you know?
And then
barbecue.
You got away from the sailors.
Barbecue. Yeah. Barbecue. But no, that's cool. No, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, now we know. And knowing is half the battle. Boom.
Joe. Uh-huh. Yeah. I just brought it up because it's, I don't know, I've read some things about it lately and I was like, hey, we should talk about this more.
You do
a lot of research.
Because
it's a concerted effort made by one of the two major political parties in the country to fan the flames of racism, which I think we should all agree is problematic.
Probably.
And not
it's interesting
really cool.
Because my family is from Memphis, both sides.
Love
and
Tennessee.
They're
Love
Southern Democrats, like to the core. Like they will vote Democratic Party no matter what. And I feel like that's kind of a thing. Like there's kind of this like old school like Southern Democrat party line.
Mm-hmm.
But that those lines are like kind of being dissolved as that generation is passing away and not there as much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And the like baby, okay, boomer. The boomers of that area are like not sticking
boomer
to that as
sooner.
Much, which is interesting. But like Southern Democrat, like used to be a thing that people were like kind of proud of. Like,
oh, yeah. I mean, the way that religion and Christianity have sort of made their way into politics has greatly changed the way people in the South vote, too.
But my grandmother was, super Christian and like thought I was going to hell because I looked at boys before I was married and like, but still like,
you told her, line. Did you tell her that they were looking at you first?
No.
I was just looking back, grandmother. It's like, have you heard about the Southern strategy, grandmother? She's like, oh, yeah, that's how you keep like, your virtue before you're married.
Don't worry, grandma, I'm still a virgin. I practice the Southern strategy.
Oh, yes, fist bump, granddaughter. Fist bump.
She's like, you got it.
So, yeah, even though you were both wrong, you're going to get 10 points each on Southern strategy.
I don't want to lose any points, but that barbecue tour was pretty good.
All right, I'm gonna give Nick 10.5 points.
Oh, I mean, get my half point back.
I want to go on that barbecue tour.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
we might be able to get that and get like a bumper sticker that says Southern Strategy and put it on the big what do you call those things? The station wagon.
I think
that we're
we need
take,
to sell
with the wood paneled station wagon.
Oh man,
let's sell the
so
idea to
that.
Elizabeth Warren, and she can make it part of her campaigning.
Yes,
and take over the Southern strategy.
Yes,
over barbecue for everybody. Let's see who puts on the most weight. That would actually probably get you some.
And she'll be like, "Hey, you know what? My healthcare plan will cover it."
Don't worry about diabetes.
Okay, so Shannon, we're back to you. Shannon, I believe we're 1 through 5.
Mm. Wow.
But take your time.
4.
Number 4. Okay. Do you have a vague idea about a Ponzi scheme?
Ooh, yes. It's a strategy.
Yeah, it is. It sure is.
For getting people away from their money.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure exactly what the difference is between a Ponzi scheme and a pyramid scheme, but the gist of it is that you are somehow convincing people to invest in something that doesn't really exist, and you use the proceeds of people investing to pay off other investors mm-hmm. until eventually it's this giant house of cards that crumbles because you can only do that for so long.
Very good. Very good. Nick, what would you like to add about a Ponzi scheme?
So I'm adding something?
Yeah.
So yeah, so kind of like a Bernie Madoff.
Yes, thing, very good. Good name drop.
He hey Bernie,
a classic on, Ponzi schemer.
Yeah, so you take some money in, pay off the early investors or give them some proceeds from investors that are buying in now, and then sooner or later it kind of runs out of steam, and then you got to skip town if you're that type of person, or face the music.
Yeah, or you know? Just kill yourself like he did, I think.
No.
Did he kill himself? Or is
no.
he just in jail?
He's just in jail, and apparently he bought all the Swiss Miss hot chocolate mix out of the machines, and so anybody in that jail has to go to him for the chocolate. Yeah, the hot chocolate.
He started a chocolate Ponzi scheme.
Yeah. Oh, man.
He's got all the chocolate. He cornered the market.
If you invest in my hot chocolate venture, you get half a packet.
I'm going to hook you up. I got all the ramen. You want some ramen. You want some honey buns. And not like jail honey buns, but like honey buns.
Yeah, yeah. We're not talking about a Southern strategy situation here. We're talking.
Man, this episode. What will they say?
They'll say 5 stars. Yeah, give me more. Great job. You guys both really hit it. I mean, a Ponzi scheme is a form of fraud that lures investors and pays profits to earlier investors with funds for more recent investors.
You want a definition?
Yeah.
Oh. I mean,
that's what he does.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to read the definition.
Okay.
Yeah,
reads Wikipedia. But how is it different from a pyramid scheme?
Okay, well, it's a pyramid scheme is usually like I manufacture something that is not necessarily great, but I convince people to buy all of it from me, and then they have to go out and sell it to move up in this pyramid. Because pyramid schemes are, I mean, it's multi-level marketing is also what it's called. Yeah. But it's basically like, okay, I made a t-shirt.
And
you buy 20 t-shirts. And now you sell 10 of those 20 t-shirts to 10 people and get them to sell them. And you're just constantly trying to get people below you to create, basically you're trying to become a manager by like just running at it head first.
Yeah,
instead
the money
of coming all
and the
goes
Ponzi
up
is
to
just
the
always investing, but taking investments to paying back previous investments.
Yeah, yeah. The Ponzi is there's nothing there. It's like, hey, I'm selling honey futures. So you guys both give me $20, and then You gave me the $20 first, Shannon. So I'm like, okay, cool. Well, you made $10 on the 20 because I take 10 from the 20 Nick gives me, and I give you 10. Yeah. But then other people get in on this, and so eventually,
as long as people
it's like,
are getting
oh, shit.
In, he can still kind of give yeah. us, and I'm like, I'm getting all this money back.
Yeah,
but I'm not,
because
really.
Bernie Madoff's whole thing fell apart because the market crashed, and people were like, well, we all want our money now. We want it out of your. Because he yeah. said it was invested.
Like the right. banks.
So they were like, oh,
in the
shit.
20s.
You know, yeah, they were like, Bear Stearns crashed. I don't have your money. I can't do a Jimmy Stewart anyway. Yeah, the scheme is named after
your money's
Charles
in
Puff.
His house, and it's in his house. That's what Jimmy Stewart.
I was going to try to do an impression, but then I thought I shouldn't do that.
I mean, you can, because it can't be any worse than what we've done.
No, but I can't, because I need to do it. When I'm alone first to see how it sounds. I have no idea how that would sound.
The money's in his house. I can't do it. I'm trying to like shake my throat while I do it.
All the money's in Bill's house and Frank's house.
Mary.
Yeah, I don't know.
Mary.
It's terrible. Yeah. Anyway. It's named after Charles Ponzi, who started this whole shit in the 1920s. Yeah. So great job. You both get 2 points.
Okay.
What was Ponzi's scheme?
What was his scheme?
What was he asking people?
Like building a boat or something. I'm going to have a...
Okay. Okay. Here's what he did. He became a swindler. He promised clients a 50% profit within 45 days or a 100% profit within 90 days by buying discounted postal reply coupons in other countries.
What's a postal reply coupon?
Oh, man. Oh, we're just going to...
Sorry.
So deep.
It's a coupon that can be exchanged for one or more postage stamps representing the minimum postage for an unregistered priority airmail letter.
So it's a stamp.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's like, invest in my stamps.
But they're like cashier's checks of stamps. So it's not actually a stamp. It's like, well, this
it's
is
like a coupon,
or it's
for
like
a
traveler's check for.
We
a
might
stamp.
Be able to pull this off today because no one would know. Like, you know, like, hey, get tired of getting gouged on the stamps you're getting? I got a hookup on some stamps.
I'm pretty sure that stamps.com is doing this exact thing, aren't they? Stamps.com. Like, don't you hate the post office?
It's like you charge somebody for a 25-cent stamp, but you give them a forever stamp. Yeah. No, the other way around.
You charge?
Yeah.
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 You
forever,
know what we're saying.
The forever stamps, mm-hmm. you could buy them at like 20 cents.
Yeah.
You're like marking it up.
I have this forever. Yeah. Yeah, you can buy them. So we buy them now. We sit on them. And then 5 years from now, we cash in.
We cash in on our stamp.
When it costs $1 million to mail a letter because the entire society has crumbled.
It's a forever stamp. Hey, there's
three postmen left.
Yeah, you want
Kevin Costner.
Like, and then
two other guys.
That was Waterworld.
Cheers.
With
Cliff Clavin. He was in Waterworld, but he was also in the Postman. He had like
right.
a dog.
No, no, yes,
following
no, no.
Him.
I know that he was in the Postman, but I was about to name. Oh man, the Tom Petty, but he was in Waterworld because I was going to say Tom Petty would be one of the guys that, but he's not going because he passed away.
I'm just trying to name three famous postmen.
Oh, okay.
And after Kevin Costner. Cliff Clavin.
How about Lou Diamond Phillips?
In
I don't know. I just wanted to say the name. He's forgotten. He got a DUI a couple years ago.
He's in Prodigal Son this year.
Is
all right. He recovered.
Shoot. Who's the mailman? Who's the mailman from Pee Wee's Playhouse? Is it Lawrence Fishburne?
No.
Is he the mailman?
Yes. Yes, it is. Not the movie, but the show.
The show. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a mailman in Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood that Mr. Rogers was teaching about. Hey, it's okay to be around black people.
Yeah.
And they
they did.
Washed their feet.
They did. They
sucked their feet in the kid pool, and then they shared a towel.
Yeah. Yeah. It was.
What a good lesson.
I know.
Hey, there you go, listeners. You're learning something valuable other than just like this really deep trivia about like anal sex.
Yeah, ways that we can make things about anal sex tonight.
Also, Mr. Rogers was never a sniper. Don't believe it. It's an internet rumor.
Oh, I did see that article.
Ugh, it's not
so
true.
So dumb. So you're both going to get 2 points for your answers on Ponzi scheme. Well done.
Hey, it's neck and neck, audience.
It
Aren't
is.
You wondering how this is going to go?
What's going to happen?
Somebody's going to get really creative here soon.
Mm. It's going to get real. Nick?
Yeah.
Shannon?
Yeah.
Nick?
Yeah.
Nick.
Wait, is it? But yeah, it's me.
One through four.
Audience, what do you say? I feel your energy and I feel you're saying three.
I heard him say three, too. It's time to play, from the makers of Pomme ou Pomme de Terre, it's La Chose Française Arbitraire. This is an arbitrary French game. The only thing that's French about it is the title at this point.
Do you speak French?
Un petit peu.
That's not French.
Yeah, it is.
Un petit peu? Uh-huh. That's French?
Yeah.
Un petit peu is like means a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit.
Un petit peu.
Oui. C'est vrai.
No, I don't know. Un petit peu. Hey, audience, un petit peu.
My pronunciation might not be perfect, but that is correct, I promise.
Maybe there's like petit, like mon petit chou.
Right.
Like my little cabbage.
Yeah. Un petit peu.
Poo.
Yeah.
Poo. Okay.
Un petit
you're
poo.
Saying poo. Yeah. Un petit
it's spelled
poo
P-E-U.
Is what you're saying, but I think it's like un petit poo.
Yeah. Un petit poo.
Un petit poo.
I know. I should pronounce it with
un
more.
Petit poo. But I don't speak French.
I like Nick's accent better, though.
It's true.
Oh, yeah. Let's get with the question. I'm wondering what you have to say about this. I like the French bread, the French toast, the French fry. Oh.
He's got it.
That's a skunk. The
Pepe Le Pew.
Pepe Le Pew.
Un petit
peu. Mon chéri. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm ready. I'm in the mood. Right. I'm in the French mode now.
Great. So here's the question I'm posing to you for La Chose Française Arbitraire.
What is it? What is the question?
Are you thirsty?
Oh, this is weird. What? That's the question.
Oui. Oui.
Like,
c'est vrai.
Is this a trick question?
No, no.
There's no right answer.
I have to get creative.
Nate loves abstraction and kind
That's
of.
Are you thirsty? Oh, that means like horny. That's like slang for horny. It is.
I mean, it's not, but
it
if you
is.
Say that,
that's what
he'll...
the no, that's what it is. No, because that's what those millennials. You're a millennial.
Yeah,
right?
I am technically a millennial.
Yeah.
It's however you want to interpret it.
That's what they say. No, I heard him talking. No. So like because he looked at me like he's like, "You thirsty?" And then he kind of gave me that like chin up like, "Hey, you thirsty?" Like I'm walking past a construction site and like when I was like, "Hey, you thirsty?" And then kind of like give me like the head nod, but it's not a nod, it's like a up tick on the head.
Yeah.
And then so I'm like, "What the fuck does this construction worker want?" Like, and then I'm thinking, I'm kind of thirsty, but wait a minute. The look in his eye doesn't mean, like, do you want something to drink? It means, do you want something to drink?
Yeah.
You know?
He's not a construction worker at all. He's a plumber, and he's ready to lay some pipe.
What kind of game show is this? You know, everything is, and then people are like, well, maybe you turned it that way. No, this is like a pervy game show. When I was listening to it before, it didn't, like, all the questions weren't all pervy. But then I get on here, and then it's like, hey, what do you know about the Southern strategy? Hey, thirsty? Hey, thirsty much? Hey, you know, I got an abstract question for you. What's in a sailor's pants, you know? And you're like, what are these... What? How do you get... Are you thirsty? Okay.
Yeah.
So, let me think of a creative answer that I can get the most points. Because Shannon has to answer this next, right?
Yeah, Shannon's next after you, yeah.
And she'll be like, yeah, I'm thirsty. And it'll be something like that. And then you're like, well, we should get you something to drink. But you won't give her the nod and the wink or whatever. Let's see. So, are you thirsty, he said. But he said, hey, so here's the question.
My cheeks hurt so bad right now.
Are you thirsty? Hey, this is just an abstract random question, but are you thirsty? You know, I like to stay hydrated,
uh-huh.
Like in a regular American fashion.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
You drink, it's supposed to be like your body weight or half your body weight in ounces.
Yeah. And if it's an American, lots and lots of lead and arsenic.
No, I test water all the time in my day job. But there's not like a lot of lead in the regular. What's going on? You're still thinking about his nastiness? How he like weaves all this sexual stuff into all the questions? Hey, what about Stratego?
I can't.
You
want to
play a little Stratego later? You know, I was like, hey, I'm just walking down the street. Hey, where are you going? I'm going to the grocery store to get some groceries. You want to play some Stratego? about a little Southern strategy or. Thirsty, I might have something to quench that thirst. You know, because I don't know. I'm not up to date on, like, the latest millennial slang.
Oh, and I'm so cutting edge.
I think you are.
Yeah. No, because I heard it. I heard people say it. They're like, she's thirsty. And I'm like, huh. I look at the chick, and I'm like, she doesn't look all that thirsty. She looks like she's been drinking fluids. But they're like, no. You don't understand, old man. She wants to get it. And I'm like, she wants to get it? What? Like, get what? You know, because that's going to be the next question. Hey, abstract question. You want to get it? What? Get it? Get what? You answer the question. You want to go roller skating with me? What the fuck? What are you talking about? Maybe. I don't know. The night's young. You know, let's see how the night unfolds. Maybe I'll go roller skating. I don't know. So, but the question is, you know, the audience is like, answer the question. Are you thirsty, man? Yeah, I'm kind of, but you know, I have to, because if I say, I'm kind of thirsty, they'll be like, why? Explain. Okay. So I guess there's like different levels, right? So there's like,
sure.
I think about like actual thirst, which you didn't mean, but like actual thirst. So I had some alcohol, sure, which you're like, yeah, drink up, enjoy.
Yeah,
we'll top off that glass.
Yeah,
drink it. Drink up that booze. Get that judgment all non-judge, I don't know. But then, you know, you get a little dry. Like the cartoons, like How Dry I Am.
Dry,
you might be too young for that. But they used to... That used to sing that, but
I bet our next guests are coming down the stairs. Oh yeah, going.
But yeah, so there's the thirst, the thirstiness, and then so I could probably actually use some water to, because you know I have to stay hydrated, and I did have some alcohol because you gave it to me. But at the same time, then you like in your meaning, like are you thirsty? Then you know I have to think about like it's like man, you know. I kind of like I don't know, like, because there's, I guess, different shades of gray in that too. But so I guess I'm kind of thirsty too, you know.
Okay,
sure, I can play that game. Yeah, whatever, you know. I'm down.
All right.
Yeah,
Shannon, are you thirsty?
I can't top that. I can't. The amount of consideration that went into that question, I'd like some water.
Okay, great.
Oh,
good work.
Nick's like, yeah,
good
she
work.
Does.
You just spray me down.
So
the hose out.
You both had it started with 100 points. All right,
and then you subtract them.
Well, for that question, I was going to give you each 100 points just for participating.
Okay.
And Nick, because you jumped to this weird sexual thing, I'm subtracting. I'm going to subtract 31 points, so you get 69. Try to read into that.
Everything with this guy.
And Shannon, I subtracted 32 points because you were correct, and we're playing golf rules for this week's La Chose Française Arbitraire, so you got 68 points. And Shannon, we're back to you. 1, 2, or 3?
3.
Number 3. Do you have a vague idea about providentialism?
That is when you live in Rhode Island, the capital of Rhode Island.
Providence.
And you are trying to figure out the best way to get to work without hitting traffic. And you come up with a strategy. And it's called... what's it called?
Providentialism?
Yep, that.
Yeah, great. Very good. Very good. Nick, providentialism.
Okay, so that is not correct. Providentialism is when you are at the deli and you are looking for provolone cheese and you are trying to find the best provolone, and there's some that's kind of, you think it's good, but it's kind of stinky.
Oh, yeah.
And like
yeah.
when you're eating it, that kind of funk gets in your nose. You're picked the wrong provolone cheese. And so providentialism is when people get together and they try to, it's like a group folks that they come up with the strategy to find the best provolone, and when they find it, it has the right balance. It has like a little funk on it, but not so much that it's going to overpower like your sandwich or just your cheese wine and cheese party. It's gonna have its character and balance, but it's still gonna be kind of smooth and creamy and have its still have its provolone characteristics, and you're gonna be the life of the party. When you show up with this cheese, or if you make a sandwich, if you put it in your kid's lunchbox or whatever, they're gonna have bullies taking their lunch to try to get the sandwich because it's good.
Yeah. And, if you which I think it, that's every parent's goal, to make a lunch so good that your child gets the shit beat out of them.
And then, or, you know, if you have it for yourself, you're going to unwrap however you wrap it. You know, if you're old school, you wrap it in wax paper. Nobody does that anymore. I've never done that, but I've heard about old people doing it. And then you unwrap it, and then you.
We should probably go back to wax paper, yeah, right? Because yeah, plastic is grossly inefficient and dangerous for the earth.
I was
but
a
wax
store
paper.
This weekend called Hope Tank on South Broadway in Denver.
Yes, great store.
Yes, everything you buy there goes to part of the proceeds go to a different charity, and okay, they were selling reusable wax paper.
Huh.
And it was really cool. I was kind of practicing. Like, I was taking it over to other sections, and I was like, here's a glass. What happens if I cover up this glass? And I was like, oh, that totally works. And it was, like, reusable saran wrap, but wax paper.
Yeah.
That's, okay.
See, that would do that.
So if you had this good provolone cheese and you wrapped it in
you
that
wrap
with your
it
sandwich,
in
then, yeah, you're going to be the hero
the wax,
in your own mind,
wax paper,
your kid's mind, and the bully's mind. Everybody wins with this provolone, with the
What's it called?
Providentialism.
Provolone.
Providentialism technique. So there you go. It's not even sexual.
You guys both did great. In Christianity, providentialism is the belief that all events on earth are controlled by God. This is that there is
close.
Divine providence.
Just like Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Oh, boo.
Yeah, I mean, don't you remember the show? Wasn't there a Providence show on TV for a little while?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was.
With the judge, maybe, or something.
Well, there was Judging Abe, Providence, and Joan of Arc. I think they're all on at the same time. So it kind of seems like they're all related. It's judges love Rhode Island and God.
It's a single universe. It's a single universe. I'm going to give Nick 3 points and Shannon 2 points for providentialism.
Okay.
And Nick, we're back to you. Are we
Shannon? No, yeah, we're
yeah,
with
okay,
me. But it's
one or two.
Oh man, one or two. One.
Number one.
That was like the hardest decision you had
because
all night.
I was thinking, I overthought it.
Do you have a vague idea about the art of war?
Oh, okay.
Now
here
this
we
is
go.
From the 5th century BC, just so you know.
Like the art of war, like Sang Tzu or whatever.
Yeah.
The art of war, the book.
Yeah, that's the one. Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So what do you want to know?
Talk about it.
About the book.
What do you know about it? What do you know about it?
I mean, he knows it's a book.
There was a book and is, you know, written back in the day by like a Asian dude.
Yeah.
Chinese guy, I think.
Uh-huh.
And and he kind of like lets you know about war. Where it's like you know, here's some things to do. Here's some things to not do. Here's some things to watch out for.
Sure.
Kind of like a guide to, hey, if you're going to go to war, look out for these things.
Yeah,
and you're going to want to excel at these things. Pay attention to this. And then, like, if you're, like, hiring some people for your war party, kind of look for these guys. These are the qualifications you want. And then for yourself, as the leader, you want to have these qualifications and instill in, like, these skills in your people. And then you go into battle, and then these are things to learn and to know about in the battle and to watch out for. And then these same principles can be used in your personal life as well and your business life.
Yeah.
So
that's where it is, right?
And so, like, so that started back in the day where they're just like, hey, first it's for war, but then they're like, hey, I can use this in my personal life. I can use it in my business life with my cape store or whatever would they have in the day. You know, back in the day, they had
a lot of cape
up
stores.
Yeah. No, but this is back in the 1500s or whatever. They have a cape
store. Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, everybody's wearing a cape.
Yeah. And then, and then in modern times, businessmen are like, hey, I want to succeed in business. And then they could be like, hey, I can take Nick Shelton's course for high-level networking for introverts, or I can do modern art of war and
also take Nick Shelton.
Or both. Or both.
Yeah, both.
Never
heard and then it's like, yeah. It's kind of like a battle. You're in there. But then, and so now, today, it's still relevant today, yeah. Where you can apply these same principles to, like, I'm going to get in that board meeting and I'm going to take over. Or just, I'm going to be in my workplace. How do I get ahead? Or, hey, I got to, like, get home to the wife and be like, hey, where's my dinner? You know, whatever. Because, yeah. You know, because I'm conquering. I just came back from conquering, whatever. Not that you do that, you know, because, you know,
oh, no, it's no. And I think the implication here is not that the wife is supposed to have the dinner.
No.
But that they've
not.
Been sharing this mystery of where did our dinner go all
yeah,
day
yeah.
long.
Where's
and
my
so,
dinner?
Strategically speaking.
Like, she's like, yeah, we're looking for
yeah,
that dinner.
Strategically
because...
speaking, you would speak to your co-general, your partner,
yeah,
and
your
be
partner,
like, where's our dinner?
Dinner?
Where's,
because where... it's like, which restaurant would our dinner be in? And yeah. then she's like, let's go conquer that dinner. And
yeah.
then you go out together as a team and you conquer the dinner. And then you feast. Like feasts and orgies, but not like I'm not turning it sexual.
No, you're hey, you're fine.
But that's what they did back in the day. That's what they do, right? So, this is the Art of War is this classic book that can be applied. It's just as relevant today as it was back then, but it applies to not only war, but the war within ourselves,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
to,
that's the biggest
to
war,
really
isn't it?
To really know ourselves and to conquer that. Once we conquer that, we conquer everything, right? And we can be one and happy. We can find happiness and not be depressed, and that happiness shines out to our families, our friends. What's more important than relationships? So it helps us with our relationships. It helps us in at the workplace. It helps our families, our friends, and just everything. And if we have to go to battle, we have the knowledge and the keys that we can do it successfully.
Oh, yeah.
That's my answer.
Excellent. Yeah. And if all else fails, you've got all your family to sacrifice to this war if you have to go into battle. Shannon, Art of War.
I don't think we've ever done a show where my cheeks hurt this bad.
Yeah. No, agreed. We've both been in high-grade quiet
silent,
laughing.
Silent giggle mode. This is for like the last half hour. Yeah. No, all that business. Also, there's a ton of movies where people reference that book, but the people that reference it in the movies are usually kind of like weird douchey dudes that are like, oh, Art of War.
What's a movie that they reference?
I can't think of it. Many? Many movies?
Yeah, there's a lot. Name one. There was a lot. Name one movie.
I want to say like Duplass probably references it a lot. Mark Duplass.
What?
That guy's kind of...
What?
I'm familiar with the works of Mark Duplass.
He probably references it a lot. No. It's kind of the idea of The Godfather, right? Like, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. That's probably like Art of War.
Hmm.
I don't know.
That might be a different book.
I think you got...
That might be The Prince.
I think you got got all of it.
Yeah, the Art
People
of War.
People talk about it in movies a lot.
They do, though. I swear, like, there's at least one Simpsons reference to the Art of War, and there's certainly several sitcoms where they reference it in joking manners because it's about military strategy. It's an ancient Chinese military treatise dating from the late spring and autumn period, roughly the 5th century BC. The work, which is attributed to the ancient Chinese military strategist Sun Tzu, is composed of 13 chapters. Each one is devoted to an aspect of warfare and how it applies to military strategy and tactics. For almost 1,500 years, it was the lead text in an anthology that would be formalized as the Seven Military Classics by Emperor Shengzong of Song in 1080. The Art of War remains the most influential strategy text in East Asian warfare and has influenced both Eastern and Western military thinking, business tactics, legal strategy, lifestyles, and beyond.
Oh, legal strategy. I didn't get legal strategy.
Oh,
in
beyond.
There.
I didn't get beyond.
Oh, beyond.
In there.
You know, and when you're dead, you can also
Bed Bath and Beyond.
Yeah, no. If you go, if you go to
Bed
Bath
and
beyond,
you're like, I need a strategy.
You're like,
check
the Art of War.
Check the Beyond section for Sun Tzu's Art of War. They will have it there.
You need a strategy to get through there without spending like $200 because they have it. Like, there's a maze.
You need more coupons.
You need a team. Six.
Great job. Okay. 5 points for Nick. 4 points for Shannon. And Shannon, you get the last topic. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Do you have a vague idea about The Blueprint from 2001?
Is that a... What is that?
Okay. 2001 was a movie. Oh, you're laughing.
No. No, I didn't mean, I meant the year 2001, not the film.
The movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's from the year 2001.
All right. The blueprint from the year 2001.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just making it up.
Creativity.
Creativity.
This was
the blueprint.
This was when we decided, and by we, I mean the U.S. government.
Don't laugh after it. So, yeah, so I'm curious to hear what this is, because, you know.
Decided what the human genome was going to look like in the future, and.
So you're saying this is a eugenics text?
Yep.
Okay, and, I just want to be clear.
But really, really more for dogs.
Okay.
And they started cloning.
The Blue's Clues print.
Yes. Yes.
You're putting words in her mouth. Let her answer the question.
But it's funnier if he contributes. Yes, the Blue's Clues text. We're going to clone some dogs. We've already done the sheep. Now let's get some Barbara Streisand, some other celebrities, tiny dogs in here.
Johnny Carson.
Did he?
No, I mean just clone Johnny Carson as a tiny dog.
Oh, and Sarah Jessica Parker.
Sarah Jessica Parker?
As a tiny dog.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, good, okay. Yeah,
and that's the blueprint.
Great, okay.
And actually, that's what it came down to, is which humans are we going to clone as tiny dogs in the future?
Yeah.
That's the blueprint.
I like it. I think your Sarah Jessica Parker reference is to Mars Attacks, right?
That was.
Yeah,
that was
great.
It.
Beautiful. Okay.
But you made it better.
With Barker?
Yeah.
just little things. Nick, the blueprint.
Sir. The blueprint.
Yeah.
So it's, you want to know about the blueprint
from
2001?
What do you know? Yeah. What do you know about the blueprint?
Well, everybody knows that the blueprint was a non-released movie that had Seth Rogen and James Franco and Ken Jeong, and they were going to build the world's best amusement park.
Oh.
And so they set out, they went and they stole the blueprints from a lot of popular amusement parks like Six Flags and
others
ones. And
Knott's Berry Farm.
Other popular.
Disney.
And then.
Ooh, Disney, if you want to be on the show. Yes.
And then they decided, hey, we're going to one up these guys. This is our claim to fame. We're going to. And so, and they can't just go and build it, so they have to take it and then rearrange their amusement parks and then pitch it to amusement park builders. And
was
they
it
were pitching it to Disney.
Was it a sequel to The Interview?
No, this was like before The Interview.
Oh, it was
and,
the prequel.
But this never came out. It wasn't released. So it was made, but maybe it'll go to video one of these days. And so they go.
Wait, did they actually pitch it to Disney, or did they pitch it to Disney in the movie?
They pitch it to Disney in the movie.
All
right. And there's that struggle, because, like, you know, we have the hero's journey and all that. They go, they it takes them a while to steal these blueprints, and then they make their own, but then they have all these little secret crowd pleasers that all these amusement parks have that they wouldn't have had. And then when they're pitching it, they're like, hey, a lot of this seems familiar to some of our secret stuff that we have here at Walt Disney.
It's true.
And
I used to know the only place in Disneyland where you could buy cigarettes.
What?
See? So they have a lot
specific,
of stuff.
Yeah, a specific counter in Tomorrowland.
And they have a jail there.
You had to climb off of the It's a Small World ride in Sweden and then backpack through the weird children for 20 minutes.
And so they it is a small world after all, but they pitch it, and then these guys are outraged. No, you have the secrets to the, you know, our amusement park.
Well, this is how we do amusement.
Yes.
You
guys have stolen our blueprints, apparently. And then, oh man, madness ensues. But, you know, James Franco ends up marrying a Disney executive's daughter, then they end up The film wraps up where they agreed to build the amusement park.
Great.
I can understand why this never got made, though, because Seth Rogen, James Franco movies, everybody's kind of over it.
But they weren't in 2001.
That's a good point.
But they knew they were going to be.
And Ken Jeong.
Well, and that too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
People are never tired. People are never tired of watching it.
But an actual board-certified physician. Yeah.
And creator of the sun.
I don't know.
No, I don't know.
Yeah. Creator of the sun?
I don't know.
Trying to get extra points.
Great job. Great job. You were both completely incorrect. The Blueprint is the sixth studio album by Jay-Z. That was released on September 11th of 2001, which is, I forgot that it was released on the day.
That's different. That's your interpretation.
Fair. Yeah. It features...
It was an album about...
It was the soundtrack to the movie.
Yeah. Everyone knows that. Doesn't it say, read farther down in your notes. Maybe it'll say. If it says that, that would be insane, right?
If you quickly get out your phone and edit Wikipedia.
Yeah, get in there. Get in there real quick. It didn't have that, but yeah, it was just a record that they put together, and it was released the week early because of bootlegging fears. So it was supposed to come out the week after, but it instead came out on September 11th, which, as we all know, was not a great day for record releases.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Uh-huh. September 11th, that was pretty early in the morning.
Right.
So do you think at 2 o'clock somebody was like, let's release this record?
Yeah, they didn't
have to.
I think
they probably
released it at 6 a.m. I think
everything had been shipped to stores the Monday night.
All right.
And
so they couldn't pull it
back. Put this record out when you open, and it's like, yeah, it's out today.
It wasn't like they hit a button.
God, I hope not. That would be terrifying.
That's what I'm thinking.
Especially if they're like, we gotta fly these planes over and drop these copies of Jay-Z's The Blueprint on every major American city. That would have been a bad day to do that idea. Huh. Would have been a real bad day for that.
That's linked to strategy.
Yeah, because a blueprint is a type of strategy,
a bad strategy to release a record on September 11th, 2001.
To release a movie about amusement park plans.
Actually, I would watch that.
I think I would too. As long as the Disney executive daughter is played by Emma Roberts, because, man, she's got moxie. I'm going to add up the scores. You each get the daughter of Eric Roberts and niece of Julia Roberts. You guys get 3 points each.
She's adorable.
I'm going to add these up real quick.
I love her. She's blonde. She's kind of bitchy. She always dresses really well.
Okay,
she's in Scream Queens and American...
Emma
Horror
Rose
Story.
Roberts.
Yeah. Love her.
Oh, she was on Unfabulous.
I don't want to be her friend, but I like watching her on TV.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that works. Oh, I've seen her. Yeah, I've seen her in something.
Yeah, she's been in a lot of American Horror Story, too. She was in the Coven season, several, yeah.
All right,
I wonder what it's like having Eric Roberts as your dad. Do you think he's like, I was a movie star, and then my sister... also became a movie star, but I was it first. But
it's
you
like
could become
Batemans,
a movie star,
like,
too.
Like Jason Bateman and... Justine Bateman.
Or like Frank and Sylvester Stallone.
It would be like being Justine Bateman's kid or Frank Stallone's kid.
Yeah.
It's like you're the kid of the less famous sibling.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, that's all right.
But Eric Roberts is always in something.
But Eric Roberts is more famous than Frank
Stallone.
He's
been in some... Marvel movies, I feel like. He's always just a guy that gets beat up real fast. He was in the Batman movies because he's like one of the mobsters.
He's
there was some talk about
too.
Some Point Edition happening.
I'm doing it. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I'm just making sure.
Nick's like, I need to know how I did.
There was some points.
This is very important
to me. Yeah. What's with the facial expressions?
I'm doing math in my head right now when you guys are all talking.
You're looking at Emma, whatever her name, Emma Roberts pictures instead of adding up our points.
Nick, I've never played this game against anybody that cared as much about the points as you do.
I
love it.
But the thing is, I listened to this podcast and I'm like, how do these people, because I didn't know it's creativity.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, how are these people knowing this stuff? And all right. So, yeah, yeah, listeners, no. I'm just creative, I guess.
We don't,
well,
I don't,
well,
you're doing it.
Well, before I speak, let's hear the point tally.
Yeah. So I have your final scores. Nick, you have won with 108 points, which is probably the most points we've had since the anniversary show.
108
points.
That was
like
108
points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The most points we've had in 2 weeks.
All right. Woo!
Shannon, you were in second place with 102 points.
All right.
And I came in with 1 point.
Yeah.
So I feel pretty good about that. Better than last week when I got negative 1 points, or 2 weeks ago, whenever that was. So great job, Nick. You win.
Thank you. All right.
What would you like to plug?
Oh,
as the winner.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, what would you like from this selection of gifts?
Here's,
we looked at your Amazon wish list, and we have all those things here.
We have a giant stuffed bear.
I don't
we
even know if I have
anything. We have a lobster harmonica.
Do you remember like Wheel of Fortune in the first season where you had to go through and buy a bunch of shit? It was like, you can buy a giant giraffe or an ugly rug or an ugly sofa.
I'll
what would you like
the,
to spend your money
portrait
on?
Portrait of a wolf, please.
That's what we're doing right now. For listeners at home, we're showing him a gallery of things
man,
that he can spend
stuff.
His points on.
Oh, the
it's
air
all very,
hockey table.
It's all very dusty. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that doesn't work. Most of the
broken
jets
air,
are broken.
Broken air,
oh.
Air hockey table.
There's like a quarter bag of Ruffles over there.
Yeah. Oh,
no,
yeah.
That's not for sale.
You can have a single ridge.
That's my dinner. No,
one ridge.
Take that.
Cheddar and sour cream. Wait, so what am I supposed to be choosing now?
Oh, just if you have anything to plug, anything else you'd like to talk about. I mean,
I'll be taking these headphones home. I'd like to. So, connectedintrovert.com is where you can go, and you can see, you know, you can learn some trivia about me. It just tells you about some stuff about me.
Nice.
And you can also look into the course on. High-level networking for introverts.
Yeah.
You know,
how to make people know who you are.
And you don't have to be an introvert because I've had extroverts and like this real estate dude in Germany. He's like this, and he's like, I'm not an introvert, but this really helped.
Nice.
And he went
He wasn't a pervert, was he?
No, what does that have to do with anything? If you are a pervert, this will work for you too. It will help you out. But I'm not a pervert, you know, and none of us here are perverts.
No.
Are you thirsty, audience? You guys thirsty? Go on to connectedintrovert.com and quench your thirst. And you'll learn how to socialize with people, and you can take the Southern Passage? No, that's not it.
Southern Strategy.
Yeah.
The Southern Passage. The Southern Passage is a little on the nose.
It's more accurate.
The Southern Strategy. Anyway, yeah. So, Connected Introvert. And, yeah, if you want to listen to the old podcast with the Bad Dates podcast, it's on Stitcher and some other stuff. But Stitcher, I know.
It's definitely on Stitcher. I confirmed it earlier in the show.
And you can listen to a lot of the experiences that I had on Bad Dates.
Excellent. Thank you for being on.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor and a pleasure.
Shannon, what would you like to plug?
I will plug Steno.
Steno.
The co-working space in Denver, Colorado that provides us with our podcast recording area, all of our microphones, all of our headphones, everything like that. If you're looking for a co-working space, contact stenodenver.com. If you're looking for a podcasting space, contact stenodenver.com. If you just want some friends, contact stenodenver.com, because everybody who works here is pretty cool.
Yeah.
It is. It's a great place. It's a great place to work. I work here, so you'd see me, and you'd get to listen to me in other contexts. I said, Nick, thank you for being on the show. We're gonna have you back. This was a lot of fun. I hope you had a good time. Because we will have you back as soon as both of our faces relax from smiling so much.
My cheeks hurt so bad.
I might bring lasagna next time, and we'll have lasagna while we do the show.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to do an entirely Garfield-themed podcast. Oh. It will be
You have to remind great. Me, though, because when I show up and you're like, hey, this is Garfield-themed, and you didn't bring it, I'm like, oh, you needed to look at your notifications and let me know.
I like that's what you offer to bring to a podcast, though. You're like, I'll bring a lasagna.
Yeah. That's not normal? No. All right. Yeah.
So, listeners, thank you so much for listening to our show. If you
thank
like
you.
The program, please tell some people about it. Let them know that you like it and why, because there's got to be a reason, right? It can't
creativity.
Just be something else. Yeah, it's creativity. It's listening to Nick vamp so luxuriously all over your ears. It's wonderful.
If you felt like when I was listening to it, and I didn't know it was creativity, and I was like, how am I so stupid? You know, I thought I was okay. But I found out, which you might just be finding out, that it's creativity. You don't actually have to know what the Southern strategy is.
You don't have to know anything, and you can still win with 108 points.
Sweet.
So, yeah. If you guys like the show, tell people about it. Also, go to iTunes and rate and review us. Give us a 5-star review. Write a little blurb for us. That would be lovely. We would really appreciate that. Follow us on social media. We have our The A Vague Idea podcast online group thing on Facebook that you can join, and you can play Palm U Palm to Tear online each week. I will even give out the points, so it's like, wow. Who's this guy? Why does he have so much time on his hands, right? You can also follow us on Instagram at A Vague Idea Podcast, and on Twitter at A Vague Idea Pod. Otherwise, thank you guys so much for listening.
Thank you.
Live your lives, but try not to make the world worse. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, with Shannon Page and John Perros. If you like this podcast and you like anime, you should check out my podcast with Sean Grolkowski called You Better Believe This. That's found at moleholeradio.com. If you like science fiction books, you should check out the press that Sean and I started. It's called Space Boy Books, and you can find us at readspaceboy.com.